Morning. The House Education Committee will come to order. The time is 8:01 a.m. on February 22nd. Today we are joined by Representative Sadler, Representative Drummond, myself, Representative Gaddis, Representative Reinbold, Representative Seaton, and in the audience I see Representative Tammy Wilson. And if she would like to come forward, she certainly can here at the side desk. Moving on our agenda today, we are hearing HJR 1. It is my intention to have the resolution presented and to begin taking public testimony, but not move the resolution from the committee today. The issue before us this morning has created a lot of confusion among members of the public and members of media. We will hear more details from Representative Wes Keller and his staff in a few minutes. But before we begin, I will ask members of the committee to wait until the end of the sponsor's presentation before asking questions. I'd like to call the sponsor and their staff forward to present HJR 1. Representative Keller and his staff, please remember, state your name for the record.
Thank you, Representative Gaddis, Chair, Madam Chair, and committee for hearing the bill. I am Representative Wes Keller, and I represent District 7 up in the north of the Wasilla area, a little bit of Wasilla. And so with that, I will proceed and tell you about HJR 1, and I will get close to the mic. Testing, you hear it now?
Take a brief
one, two, three.
There we go. Check on parts, mic one.
Okay. This testing two. Testing.
There we go. Ready to go? Yeah.
Thank you. And I'm the sponsor of HJR 1. And just again, in case I didn't get recorded, my name is Representative Wes Keller, District 7. Your vote for HJR 1 is a vote to allow the Alaskan voters to decide on November year 2014 general election, whether or not to include one sentence. The bill is very brief, can be read in about 3 minutes. That sentence is, nothing in this section, it's a section on taxation, nothing in this section shall prevent payment from the public funds for the direct educational benefit of students as provided by law. If you were to vote against HJR 1, you'd be saying we don't want to allow Alaskans to decide whether or not that sentence should be included, or you'd be trying to prevent them from deciding that. And it's just real straightforward. The sentence is, nothing in this section shall prevent payment from the public funds for the direct educational benefit of students as provided by law. It also deletes what is the so-called Blaine Amendment, which is just the corollary to that statement, which is that nothing in public funds can be used, no payment can be made from public funds that is a direct benefit for religious or other private institutions. So that's it. I would really appreciate you passing this on and letting the Alaskans decide this issue, which has been a lot of discussion. I think it's the time is right. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Jim Town, staff, Representative Keller. What HJR 1 does is it moves Alaska's education system forward. It eliminates a federal mandate. It's a response to a state Supreme Court's correct interpretation of our Constitution. Essentially, the Constitution does not permit state funding to go to a private or religious school. No state money for, let's say, Gonzaga. No state funds for BYU. And in this case, no funds for the now closed because of that court decision, Sheldon Jackson College in Sitka. HJR 1 asked the legislature to ask the Alaskan people if they want to expand educational opportunities from K through 16. Other schools that have, other bills rather, that have moved through this body support scholarships for needs-based, scholarships for good grades, scholarships for excelling under intense class curriculum. All that money for those scholarships go to the University of Alaska. There's nothing wrong with the University of Alaska, but in many cases these students want to have options to go somewhere else. HJR puts those options before the voters of Alaska, and HJR will not make any decisions today having to do with public funding. Today you will hear, actually you probably read from organizations, that this is a voucher bill. It is not. You will hear that this is a parent choice piece of legislation. It is not. You will hear that it is school choice legislation. It is not. What it does do is very simple. It will not bankrupt the school system in the public school system because they'll have to compete. It is not discriminatory. This resolution does one thing. It puts the vote before the Alaska people to decide if their legislature, and then this legislature can decide later on whether there's school choice, parent choice vouchers, or whatever you want to call them. Today is not the day that we're doing that. Thank you.
Are there any questions for the bill's sponsor or staff? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. President Keller, do you have any information for us as to how many times the Constitution has been amended in Alaska since its passage?
Representative Sadler, I do not have that information. I'm sorry. If I might, Madam Chair, I know there's people online, I'd appreciate it if we could at some point get right to them, after we get the initial questions.
I do have a question, and I just want to clarify. So in essence, this bill is just to ask the Alaskan voters if it's okay? Is that what this bill is about?
That's exactly right, Madam Chair. It's all it's about.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, if the voters approve this resolution, will that create education vouchers or scholarships?
No, ma'am. All it will do is put on the ballot a whether the people will be able to decide whether the sentence that I read should be included in the Constitution. Nothing in this section shall prevent payment from public funds for the direct educational benefit of the students as provided by law. That's all that it will do.
Any other questions before we go to public testimony? Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just wanted to, I think you covered it, but this also not only puts in some language, but takes out language. So, in essence, the language that is taken out is no money shall be paid from public funds for the direct benefit of any religious or other private educational institution. So by passing this or voting for this, you are actually saying that you agree that money can be paid to religious and private educational institutions.
Deleting the so-called Blaine Amendment, there's a lot of history, a lot of discussion, as you well know, through the chair, I'm sorry, as you well know. So, but no, this bill doesn't, this resolution doesn't go that far. It adds a sentence. Nothing in this section of taxation shall prevent the payment from public funds for the direct educational benefit of the student as provided by law. That's what it'll do. The Blaine Amendment is a, like I say, has a huge history. It goes clear back to 1875, and I think that it's outside of the scope, of a lot of discussion anyway on this bill. We've given in the last year's session, there's a lot of testimony, and I'm sure there's people online that will be able to address more about the Blaine Amendment if you want to hear it.
And Madam Chair, I just wanted to make it clear that a vote is not only for putting in this language, a vote is for deleting the other language. And so I just didn't want to characterize that if I vote one way or another, I'm only voting for half of the bill, the other portion of the bill. I mean, they're corollaries, but people can vote And since that was in your sponsor statement, I just wanted to make sure that it was clear that a person can decide on either one of those issues. The effect is the same, but the characterization of why a person is going to vote for or against this is on either one of those issues.
Through the chair. Representative Seaton, I just want to say thank you. That clarification is an important one, and I thought I made it in my presentation, but I'll read it just to be sure. HGR 1 also deletes the so-called Blaine Amendment, which says no money should be paid from the public funds for the direct benefit of any religious or other private educational institution. That's what it will be deleted along with the insertion of, this, of that sentence, that nothing prevents the payment from the public funds for the direct educational benefit of students as provided by law.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So, Representative Keller, there seems to be a little bit of confusion. If the legislature approves this resolution, will it create a school voucher or scholarship program?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Any Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The assumption is that if you're removing lines 8 through 10 of the Section 1 on public education, that money from public funds shall be paid to for the direct benefit of religious or other private educational institutions. Where's the money going to come from that will fund at least 5% of the school-aged children in Anchorage attend private or religious schools? That's an additional 2,500 students, roughly, in Anchorage. Several million dollars in additional funds that would be flowing from the state treasury to those schools. Where's that money going to come from?
Through the chair, Representative Drummond, the resolution does not appropriate or spend money. Yeah, all the only money that is spent on this with this resolution is the cost of printing the ballots. The people will be deciding this, and it does not presume that money shall be spent.
Madam Chair, if I could,
go ahead.
That appears to be skirting the issue, Mr. Keller. It says that no money shall be paid for the direct benefit of any religious or other private educational institutions, and I assume if you want to delete that language from the Alaska Constitution, that it will allow money to be paid to those private or religious institutions. So I'd like to know where the money is going to come from once that is in place. I do believe we have to consider the downline implications of a positive vote on this constitutional amendment.
Again, Representative Drummond, that's an application and a presumption that is not valid. The resolution does not do that.
Thank you, Mr. Keller, and your staff for your time. We'll now begin hearing public testimony, and to ensure that as many people as possible have their voices heard, we'll be limiting our testimony to 2 minutes. My faithful timekeeper next to me will be taking those 2 minutes. Thank you, Representative Reinbold. For those online, you'll be asked to state your name and who you represent and whether you support or oppose the legislation for the official record. If you have written testimony, you're encouraged to send it to the committee through email or the postal service, and it will be included in the official record. We have on off-net Mr. Kevin McGee. Are you there, Mr. McGee?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead and please remember to state your name and who you may be with for the record.
Thank you. Excuse me. Good morning, Madam Chairman, distinguished members of the committee. My name is Kevin David McGee. I'm a resident of Anchorage, Alaska. I have been a resident of Anchorage for 45 years. I'm a disabled veteran and a parent of three children that graduated from the Anchorage School District. My oldest child graduated from West High School, subsequently went on further to become a graduate of Johns Hopkins University. My middle daughter, a graduate of East High School, who is now proud to serve in our country in the United States Air Force in the mental health field. My youngest son, Terrell, he is a graduate of service Service High School. And my youngest son is autistic. He's also been diagnosed with mental retardation. He suffers from seizures. And I am grateful to the Anchorage School District and its employees for assisting my son through his hard time. And I believe that this would not have occurred if it had not been for the dedication of the teachers in the Anchorage School District that assisted my son. Personally, I am opposed to this proposed legislation because I don't feel that there is a need to change the Alaska State Constitution. Obviously, I feel that way because I've been here long enough to know what the state of Alaska has been able to do. And I don't believe that sharing or changing the Constitution and the way I interpret the proposed legislation would be to allow for state funding to subsequently be used for the purpose of allowing private schools and possibly even religious schools to use some of the state funds. It is in my humble opinion, I believe that if a parent or parents wish to have their children or child go to a public, go to a private or religious school, that ultimately they can pay for that out of their own pocket. When I was growing up, my mother parents wanted me to go to Catholic school.
Thank you, Mr. McGee. Your time is up, and I am marking you that you are opposed. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You bet. Next, I'd like to go to the Anchorage LIO and hear the mayor, Tom Fink. The Honorable Tom Fink, are you online?
Yes.
Please go ahead, and you do have 2 minutes. Introduce yourself for the record.
I'm a 61-year resident of Alaska. I'm a father of 11 children. I'm a board member of a private school here in Anchorage. I'm here representing myself. I support HJR1. I believe that the K-12 system in Alaska is broken. This amendment removes the major obstacle of correcting the system. The Blaine Amendment limits the legislature to funding public schools rather than funding education for Alaska's K-12 children. With passage of this amendment, the legislature will be free to answer the educational needs of our children. Please understand the main opposition to this legislation is the National Education Association. They're spending considerable money, advertising, and lobbying. They want to protect the one system which they essentially control. They are fighting to protect their own power structure, not for the education of our children. Let the public vote on HJR1 and untie the hands of the legislature to cure our educational deficiencies. Thank you, Chairman Garrett.
Thank you, Speaker and Mayor Fink. Next we have from Anchorage LIO, Dennis Fradley. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Madam Chair.
Please state your name and who you may be representing for the record. And your name for the record, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Your name for the record, if you will.
Dennis Bradley, F-R-A-D-L-E-Y.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Fradley.
The Establishment Clause in both the U.S. and Alaska constitutions prohibits direct government support for religious institutions. This proposed amendment for the legislature now does not in any way alter that prohibition. However, it is possible under the federal constitution for state governments to fund education for children and allow parents to decide which schools they attend. In the landmark decision, 2002, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the constitutionality of the school voucher program in Cleveland that permits parents to enroll children in religious or other private schools using public funds for tuition assistance. The court laid out a number of specific requirements in order for a state to do this. These guidelines are available to any state to follow. Today there are 17 states offering some form of school choice to residents, voucher scholarships, tax credits. Results are encouraging. Not only are students in the programs doing much better, but so are the public schools where school choice is being offered. That's because school competition has provided the incentive. Alaska could benefit from this competition too. Right now, the only alternatives we have to government-run schools are different forms of government-run schools, homeschooling and private education for those who can afford it. Unfortunately, although the U.S. Supreme Court gave the green light for states to establish school choice, Alaskans cannot do so. Our Constitution prohibits it. Article 7, Section 1, last section, is more strict than the U.S. Constitution, and the Alaska Supreme Court has expanded that ban on direct benefits to include indirect benefits.
Thank you, Mr. Fradley. Unfortunately, your 2 minutes is up. Thank you. Next, we'll hear from Kathleen Squires in the Anchorage LIO. Please be sure to introduce yourself and who you're with, Kathleen.
My name is Kathleen Squires, and I'm representing myself, and I am in support of the bill. I have a 13-year-old son who in the fifth grade was diagnosed with profound dyslexia, who's reading at the first to second to grade level. Dyslexia, of course, is not an eye issue, it's neurological. We had gone through a public education, public homeschool education, and no one had been able to say anything other than he should try harder. We sent him to Grace Christian, where a teacher found that he didn't think it was just trying harder. When we went to the public sector with what we could do about that, they said our only two choices were to send him to Baxter Elementary, which had a swing island program which would wean him off, but they had no availability, or he could go and be pulled out of classes into a swing island program for an hour or two a day, which is about a quarter of what he actually needed, and be with a special education teacher. The special education teachers in Anchorage, most of them do not even know or understand dyslexia that affects 1 in 10 children. We wound up spending $25,000 and pulling a second mortgage on our home, which most people can't afford and certainly stretched us. We spent 2 hours a day sending him to a neurological specialist at Grace who was able to work in the science and math at grade level and mostly learned from their special ed. 2 years later, he tested at sixth grade level, and now he is still too slow to be put into a regular classroom with more than 12 children. He is currently with two teachers and 18 other children with the exact same situation, the same story, in a church basement where we pay $7,000 a year for substandard accommodations. The public cannot be all things to all people, and although they are very good intentioned and wonderful teachers with great hearts, they want to reduce class sizes, but they're cutting teachers, so this cannot happen. Every child deserves to have their educational needs met. Every child deserves the best education. And so the people need to be allowed to decide to vote if they want to fund the education and not the system. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Squires. Next, we'll go to the Kenai LIO, and we have LaDawn Drews. And LaDawn, if you're there, please make sure you introduce yourself and who you're with.
Good morning. I'm LaDawn Drews. I'm representing NEA Alaska today as the Vice President. NEA Alaska does not support the resolution because children are our special interest. As Alaskans, we are fortunate to have a school choice within our public schools. Parents have the ability to choose a program that meets their child's needs, and many districts offer a variety of alternative options and many excellent public charter schools. Before you today is a resolution that would allow the voters to change the constitution of the state, which thereby would allow public funds to go to private and or religious schools. In addition to the argument of choice is the notion that vouchers will create competition and thereby improve our public schools. There is no evidence to support this assertion. Alaska's parents may indeed be asking for greater choice in education, but it is choice within the public school system, as evidenced in the findings of the Education Reform Summit hosted by Mayor Sullivan last year in Anchorage. Do voucher systems lead to higher student achievement? The answer is no. Two examples I'll provide in my written testimony come from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and the state of Ohio. Rather than promote a voucher program, let Alaska be the leader in funding innovative programs that improve student learning in our public schools. Let's fund technology that connect even our most remote districts with the lower 48 in the world. Let's fund advanced placement courses and career tech education classes that prepare our students for the best universities and skilled, well-paying jobs. Let's fund preschool for all children in our state. NEA Alaska is committed to great public education and work for every child, and we are working diligently to be the leaders in our profession, ensuring a quality, qualified teacher in every classroom. Alaska does not need to change the Constitution. We need to work together to improve our public schools, educate our children, and strengthen our communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have from Soldotna, Drew Baker. Please remember to state your name and who you may be with. Drew, are you there?
Yes, I am here. My name is Drew Baker, and I'm representing my daughters who go to school here in the local area. One daughter goes to Cook Inlet Academy. And our country has a history of opposing monopolies, and they do it for a reason, because by allowing competition, we make our economy stronger, we make our nation stronger. So I stand in favor of H.R. 1 and ask you to oppose the monopoly of the public school.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Next, we'll go to Jenny Hammond at the Kenai LIO. Please be sure to introduce yourself. Jenny, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. My name is Jenny Hammond, and I am. I would like this HJL 1 to pass. I believe in a parent's responsibility and a choice to make sure that their children get the education that they deserve. I have two children that are currently going to Cook Inlet Academy. They both, before that, went to an excellent school in Nikiski. However, I felt that I believe in small schools and small classrooms, and the only way I was going to do this was if we had decided to put them into private education, private school. And it has benefited both my children greatly to be in a class of 18 in a consistent basis. And my daughter, who has learning issues, has been able to thrive a little better in a class of 18 instead of a class of 26 with the pull-out method in the day. And she never really connected with her teachers or classroom when she was in the regular school. I believe that this should go to the voters, and it is a parent's responsibility and their choice to put their children where they believe to go to for education. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to Sitka, and we have Lon Garrison online. Lon, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Please be sure to introduce yourself and who you're with. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. My name is Lon Garrison, and I am a member of the Sitka School Board. I'm here this morning to voice my opposition and concern regarding House Joint Resolution 1 that would call for amending the state constitution to eliminate the prohibition of public funds being used for the direct benefit of religious or other private educational institutions. I firmly believe the framers of our state constitution understood the long-term value and the necessity of offering every student in the state of Alaska the opportunity of a quality public education, no matter who or where they come from. They understood that the very foundation of our democracy resides in the ability for us to educate our populace. The sponsors of this resolution like to portray this as an issue of fairness and choice, that this will somehow create a system of competition similar to the ideal of the free market, and that in and of itself it will drive improvement in our education system. I believe they are naive and incorrect in this assumption, and that an amendment would only further create segregation of those that have and have not. What assurances for oversight of the appropriate use of public funds in private schools will there be? Will an understaffed and ill-funded Department of Education be able to cope with the increased responsibility of holding public or holding private schools accountable on the same level as public schools? And will every private school be required to take any and every child, no matter what their impairment may be, through their doors and provide them the opportunity for an education demanded by both state and federal law? Finally, the idea of private schools that will force competition and greater student achievement is questionable when public schools must operate under the weight of negotiated agreements. For most schools, over 80% of our annual budgets are consumed by negotiated salary and benefits. If you truly want to make a difference in student achievement, then changes must be made how those negotiations are structured, how we evaluate and retain teachers, how we measure student success. I'm guessing these are not necessarily the issues at heart for this resolution. I thank you for your time and the ability to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Garrison. We'll now go to OffNet and hear from Joshua Decker. Joshua, are you there?
I am, Madam Chair. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead and introduce yourself and who you may be with.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Joshua Decker. I'm a staff attorney with the ACLU of Alaska. Jeffrey Mittman, our executive director, submitted written testimony to the committee yesterday, and I understand that it's in your packet. To quickly recap what he stated, we at the ACLU of Alaska oppose this joint resolution. The framers of the state constitution squarely confronted this issue and directly rejected it when they drafted and ratified the constitution about 50 years ago. If the resolution is passed and successfully amends the constitution, it will not allow the state to fund religious schools. The resolution does nothing to change either the Alaska or Federal Establishment Clause, which clearly prohibits direct giving of public money to private religious institutions. If the committee does want to fund private schools that are secular, this resolution would allow that. We caution, however, that students who attend private schools, be they secular or religious, are not able to avail themselves of the multitude of federal and state non-discrimination laws. And so students who do attend private, secular, and religious schools may be discriminated against on the basis of sex or physical or mental disabilities. And because of the deep constitutional questions at stake, and because this has potential to leave a number of Alaska students out in the cold and without recourse to non-discrimination laws, we ask the committee not to vote for this bill. I'm happy to answer any questions the committee might have.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll go to Fairbanks, and we have Lance Roberts. Lance, if you're online, are you there?
Yep.
Make sure you introduce yourself and who you're with. Go ahead, Lance.
Lance Roberts, and I'm representing myself. I want to speak in support of HJR1. The issues that aren't being brought up this year, they were brought up last year on the scholarship program and the benefits that would have, especially for those who can't afford and want to have their children educated in a different method, but they're already paying the property taxes and putting that money forward, subsidizing others, and then they have to pay extra outside of it, as my parents had to do. I went to both public and private school. But the real issues that this will address is the choice, to give the parents a choice, to give the legislature the flexibility and the tools to allow competition. Competition has been shown elsewhere to have great results, not just for the students who opt out of the government school system, but also for the government schools, because that competition has been shown to increase their effectiveness. So this is a win-win all the way around for everyone. I guess the most important thing is that we put this forward so that the voters can decide if this is what they want in the Constitution. We should put this to the voters to let them decide whether they want to have the choice with what they do with the money that they're paying in taxes. They're the ones paying the taxes, and they should be allowed to be represented. So I hope you will put this forward to allow it to be on the ballot. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Roberts. And also in Fairbanks, we'll hear from Ron Arnold. Are you there, Mr. Arnold?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
Please be sure to introduce yourself and who you may be with.
My name is Ron Arnold. I am with the Educational Support Staff Association here in Fairbanks. And I beg to disagree with Mr. Roberts. We have enough data, and I'm sure you guys also down there in Juneau, to verify that we have not had a great success with not only charter schools or the production of results that we would like from, but also when you compare, quote, competition, we don't have in this country, quote, a competition. The sad thing is that we are unfortunately sort of layered into this belief that that competition is good. Competition is good. It's going to assist us with all kind of great decisions. We are very limited. And for us to sit back and to assume that by, which we used to, by the way, and I'll give you an example, at one time slavery was an acceptable thing with the Constitution. At one time, women's rights not to vote was an acceptable thing with the Constitution. We need to sit back and look at this as for what it is, and that is that we need to have an educated public. We need to be able to sit back and to say that if we're going to argue these talking points that I've been given, that they are something that this, quote, population of people in Alaska need to be aware of, and that is that we do not need to make a constitutional change for the sake of actually educating our children. What we need is to sit back and to support greater teachers, support greater involvement in terms of our legislature down in Juneau for giving actual dollars on a regular basis to improve education, to limit the class size, and to also encourage people to come into the educational field knowing that they're going to be paid a decent salary and work within a decent range in terms of what they can produce for the children.
Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Next, we'll hear in Fairbanks from Zeb Woodman. Are you online, Zeb?
Yes, I am.
Please introduce yourself and who you're with for the record.
My name is Zebulon Woodman. I'm with Local 942, and I'm here representing my two boys at Hunter Elementary in Fairbanks. HDR1 would create a program to subsidize public schools with taxpayer money and allow those schools to operate outside traditional public schools while exempting these private schools from state laws that apply to public schools. Vouchers hurt public school students by taking away money from public school classrooms and giving it to for-profit education corporations, private school operators, and religious organizations. I believe that if you implement the voucher system, it is just one way of privatizing schools and a way to avoid Davis-Bacon laws and Title 36 laws. These laws provide a living wage to workers who construct schools, build additions, perform major renovations in school district buildings. And inside Alaska and outside organizations, paying for pro-choice individuals to sell the concept of school choice and free market principles, yet there are many middle and upper class families who could easily afford private schools and have chosen public schools and are very happy with them. It would seem free market principles are already working and don't need government intervention. Many voucher supporters claim that vouchers will save the school district money by reducing the amount of students that enroll. What they fail to mention is how it will affect the fixed cost at public schools, public transportation, daily maintenance, major renovations, utilities, heating costs won't decrease when voucher students leave the public schools. Please consider these four points. If any state or federal money, taxpayer money, is going to be funneled to these private voucher or charter schools, then Davis-Bacon or Title 36 laws should apply to all construction, applicable maintenance projects, these schools and buildings, grounds, even if they are rented. Whenever someone wants to reform schools, hold on to your purse or wallet. What they really want to do is transfer money or power from the school district into public, their private pocket. Students have legal protection in public schools that don't often exist at voucher or private schools. Private voucher schools could follow the same rules that govern public schools and teachers. Remember the fixed cost at school districts, the loss of funding could force cut in other areas.
Thank you, Mr. Woodman. Unfortunately, your time is up. Thank you. Next, we'll go to Anchorage LIO. Andy Holloman, are you on?
I am.
And please be sure to introduce yourself and who you're with. Thank you.
I'd like to speak against HJR1. If you do open up competition in the form of school vouchers or scholarships, I don't doubt that schools of choice will open that will enroll students to the cost of the voucher. I also don't doubt that others are going to open up to accept the voucher and a substantial check. I've lived for 20 years on the Anchorage Hillside, and many of my neighbors can do that, and they can do it easily. I don't doubt that those are going to be fine schools as well. You will, in essence, be creating a system of schools that many Anchorage students can never hope to attend. Right now, Muldoon families can zone exempt to Golden View or South or any ASC school. They may have transportation issues, but they don't have tuition issues. By changing the route that you currently fund schools, you will enable a segregated school system. I hope that's not your intention. We don't have it in Anchorage, and we don't want to see it start. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Holloman. Staying with the Anchorage LIO, we'll hear from Mr. Jerry Covey. Are you online?
Yes, I am.
Please introduce yourself for the record and who you may be with.
Thank you. My name is Jerry Covey. I am an Anchorage-based education and nonprofit consultant, a former Alaska Commissioner of Education, a former school district superintendent, principal, and teacher in Alaska Public Schools. I am here on my own behalf. I'm here to testify in favor of HJR1. First and foremost, I believe in public outcomes for public dollars. I also believe in expanding our education delivery options to better meet the needs of students, parents, and employers throughout the state. And I believe that increased competition within our education system will translate to improved education for students. In my view, choosing the school a child attends should be a fundamental right of every parent. Our current system of education does not allow that. While we have some outstanding examples of public schools in Alaska, we have many schools in both urban and rural communities that are producing results no one is proud of. For thousands of students, the only choice presently available is to attend schools with low achievement and disappointing graduation rates. The issue of expanding choice and creating competition within schools looks very different when, as a parent, the hopes and dreams you have for your children are overshadowed by the fact that the only choice available to you is a failing school. Well, no one knows what the K-12 system will look like if the public is allowed to vote on HJR1 and approves it. I believe that it will spark the most comprehensive, important, and long overdue examination of our K-12 public education system. I'd like to thank the committee for taking up this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Covey. Next, we'll go to the Kenai LIO, and we'll hear from Tuckerman Babcock. Are you online?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Please introduce yourself and who you may be with.
I'm Tuckerman Babcock, representing myself. I've been a resident of Alaska since January 1966. My eight children have attended home school, private school, public school, both urban and rural. Two have attended the UAA college system, and two are in private schools out of state. This issue is simply one of freedom, and we have the freedom to choose housing, food, health care, and transportation. We trust adults to do that, often with the subsidy of government funds or tax credits. It's peculiar that in the area of elementary and high school education, we insist on a monopoly and a bureaucracy over freedom of choice. I also note that for college education, the state provides funds and subsidies for private, public, and religious colleges. So why continue to prohibit freedom of choice for parents and their children when it comes to elementary and high school? I support the freedom of choice and support HJR1. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Babcock, and we'll stay in Kenai with Doug Hodges. If you're there, please introduce yourself and who you may be with.
My name is Doug Hodges, and I've lived here in Alaska for 11 years. I came from the Northwest, and I have four children currently, three of the children in school, and I would love to send my children to public school if they improved the grades and the quality of schools, and I hope that people will pass this law and people will have school choice. It will create competition and get rid of the monopoly that we have now. Thank you.
Thank you. And now we'll go back to Fairbanks and hear from Tammy Smith. If you're online, please introduce yourself and who you may be with.
Thank you.
Tammy, are you there?
Yes. Hello?
Yes, we hear you. Go ahead, Tammy.
Thank you. I am with the Fairbanks Education Association. I appreciate your time. In Alaska, we are very fortunate to already have school choice within our public schools. Parents have the ability to choose a program that meets their child's needs, whether through open enrollment or public charter schools. Yet there are some that would believe that it is imperative that Alaska change the state constitution to allow for public funds to be sent to religious or private schools, otherwise known as voucher programs. The data, however, from across the lower 48 is dismal on voucher programs. If you look at the Milwaukee Parental Choice Program, which has been in existence for over 20 years, it shows that students in those schools underperform the public school students in both reading and math. In Ohio, where the charter schools are not part of the public school system, one study found that in 2012, $774 million was diverted from public education to private schools. And the results from all of the tests show that those students in those private schools are underperforming the public schools. Proponents would argue that parents should have the right to choose schools their children attend, and the ability to pay should not be a determining factor, thus the need for government assistance. The big lie is that voucher schools in most instances choose the students, not the other way around, due to their own lottery system. Bruce Baker of Rutgers has observed over time that vouchers and non-public charter schools have a systematic pattern of cream skimming, otherwise picking the top students for their schools and making them look good, thus leaving students who have learning disabilities and other needs out of the loop. Again, if we look at how charter schools operate, most of them discriminate against the students that come from the lower income areas around the country. It is apparent that...
Thank you, Ms. Smith. Your time is up, unfortunately. We'll stay in Fairbanks, and we'll hear from Tanya Sanderson. And be sure to introduce yourself and who you're with, Tanya.
It's Toya Sanderson, and I'm going to speak today as a parent who has the three students through the Fairbanks North Scarborough School District. My son, youngest son teaches in the Victorville, California education system. And I want to speak specifically to the issue of the dropout rate. I'm employed in the Fairbanks North Scarborough School District, and my past job was a graduation success coach. And I had a caseload of 85 students that I helped make sure that those students were engaged, that they turned in work, that they attended school, parents were involved. I did a number of things to make sure that those students had a good learning environment every day, made sure they were fed, had clean clothes, showers, and a number of other supplies when they didn't have those things. My program was cut, and there's a report that is on file with the Fairbanks North Scarborough School District that will substantiate and show that we graduation success coaches made a difference, that our graduation rate increased. That program got cut because of flat funding. No more funds. 26 people lost their jobs. And now, at 3 years, I've been out of that job, and guess what? The graduation rate has fallen. The 3 years that we were engaged in the life of the students, parents were more engaged in the life of their students. They showed parent choice. That's what this is supposed to be about. Parents have always had a choice to be involved, engaged in their child's education. Go to a PTA meeting, attend parent conferences. When there's something is going on that you're not satisfied with as a parent, you show up at the school, you talk to the teacher, you engage the administrator, and you seek out strategies that meet your child's educational needs. That choice still exists today.
Thank you so much. Unfortunately, your time is up. We'll move to the Anchorage LIO and hear from Arnie Cohen. And Arnie, please introduce yourself and who you're with for the record.
Okay, I'm Arnold Cohen. I'm actually speaking for myself, but I'm the head of school at Pacific Northern Academy. We're the only actually independent school, which is a subset of private schools. We are part of the National Association of Independent Schools and accredited by, or in the process of being accredited by the Northwest Association of Independent Schools. And I'm going to surprise my colleagues here a little bit because I'm actually opposed to the HR bill, the bill, because An independent school means being able to set its own mission and being able to set its own standards for admission. My concern is that by accepting, I think it's naive to think that by accepting public funds, you will not fall under public scrutiny. And not only will you fall under public scrutiny, but you will be then not probably more than encouraged to fall under the provisions of the public schools, thereby losing your very independence, which you hope to achieve. Secondly, I'm concerned that by allowing public funds to be used for non-public education, that you will diminish the quality of public education. And though I'm an independent school educator, I'm very much for great public schools in for all children, because independent schools cannot serve all the children of the state of Alaska. And thirdly, I am concerned that if you use public funds and you are not careful, you will invite into the state private diploma mill companies who will not, in fact, have high standards. And that has been actually the case in many other states, particularly at the collegiate level. And so I would certainly hate for us to diminish the quality of education by using public funds to support that. I believe it's the it is actually the obligation of the state of Alaska to oversee the use of public funds, and therefore, even more so for those who are that are religious schools, having to go into a religious school and then oversee both, probably what I would see is both the funding and the curriculum of those schools would therefore be a real conflict of church and state as well. So while I think it would be lovely to have additional funds, one last thing too, that funding that's given in voucher system will not, I don't know how much you're expecting to give to each parent, but it costs almost $19,000, a little over $19,000 actually, to educate a child in classes of 14 and 15 in an independent school. And if you're providing $2,000 or $3,000, who's going to provide, or $4,000 or $5,000, who's going to provide the difference in the cost of that? Where will that come from?
Thank you, Mr. Cohen. Unfortunately, your time is up. We'll stay in Anchorage and hear from Jess Ellis again. Please introduce yourself and who you're with for the record.
Thank you for this opportunity to speak in support of HJR1. In the way of introduction, my name is Jess P. Ellis. I'm an itinerant endodontist or a root canal specialist. I've been practicing for the last 24 years. I've had the benefit of a great education, and I would hope that the same might be available to all. Here are my reasons for supporting this measure. I think Alaskan voters, after a fair airing of the pros and cons, ought to have a chance to vote on this important issue. I think the Blaine Amendment was rooted in bigotry, and it for no other reason ought to be repealed. The state of Alaska has a constitutional obligation to provide for a K-12 education. The current system has proven to be more expensive and less effective than is the case in other states. The state of Alaska ought to have the option of employing the private sector in education, especially if the private sector can produce better results at a lesser cost. If and when the state revenues from oil decline, Alaska will desperately be looking for ways to save money. Since education is a major part of the state budget, prudence dictates we get this option in place now. Liberty, freedom, competition, and unleashing the genius of the private sector are all fundamental American and Alaskan values. Passage of HJR1 would be in keeping with those values. I believe passage of this measure would lead to more choices in education and a better educated population. I believe it will lead to an empowering of good teachers to do their job better and to better compensation for doing so. I also believe it would allow minorities the greater potential to escape poor public schools. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis. Now we'll go to Offnet and hear from Panna Ganguly. And if you'll please introduce yourself and who you may be with for the record, Panna.
Is it Tammy Ganguly, are you saying? I'm Tammy Ganguly.
Sure. Could you say that again for the record?
Tammy Ganguly.
Yes,
and I represent myself and Alaska's PTA and National PTA. For PTA purposes, I would like to say that they believe that every child must be provided with a well-rounded, high-quality education that ensures that all children have the opportunity to reach their full potential, and that access to free public education is the most effective way of doing that. and that public education provides equal educational opportunities for all students regardless of race, gender, national origin, language, religion, age, disability, or sexual orientation, and they support this. Also, they oppose private school choice proposal or voucher systems that divert funds, public funds to private or sectarian schools. And Alaska PTA and National PTA also believe that homeschools or other non-public schools should meet the same educational standards as public schools. As a parent, I'd like to speak now as supporting myself and my household's beliefs. We truly believe that it is our responsibility to advocate for our children, and every child is unique and has a unique need in their educational approach. So without a good quality public school system, we wouldn't have the basis that we need to use to that platform that we need as parents to provide a more unique and personal educational environment for our children. And if the monies are diverted from our public schools into these other schools of choice, which really are more about social preferences and religious backgrounds and personal personal status, then the general public is not going to have the platform they need to enhance their own personal children's education. And I've heard a lot of different statements, and I don't believe that this is about discrimination, because when it really came to discrimination, in my personal experience, it came from private schools. I was trying to get what I thought was a high quality education for my daughter at the urging of others, and I was ready to throw all my money at it, but my money was not good enough because I didn't meet.
I'm sorry, Tammy.
For that school.
Tammy, your time is up. But are you opposed to this resolution, or are you for it?
Alaska PTA and National PTA are opposed, and me as a personal individual in Fairbanks, I am opposed as well.
Thank you so much. And
on
off-net, we have Wanda Laws. Please be sure to introduce yourself and who you may be with.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Good morning. Yes, my name is Wanda Laws, and I am the president of the NAACP here in Anchorage. And
Wanda, I'm sorry, Wanda.
Yes.
What is
yes?
NAACP for the record?
It's the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to state that the NAACP in Anchorage is in opposition to JR1. I noticed at the beginning when I first tuned in, there were several questions that were asked about they're saying that if the clause comes out of the amendment, that the money will not go towards private schools. And the question was asked to them, where would the money come from? And I wasn't really quite sure if I heard an answer to that. I believe that this type of school voucher, which you want to call it, I call it a school coupon, I think it does create segregation. I think it creates segregation between parents who can afford to send their kids to a private school and those who cannot. I believe that probably private schools, I don't think they will be held up to the same certification or the same rules that public schools are. And if that money is coming from taxpayers, why would they not be held up to the same rules? And also, I just wanted to point out that people are talking about class sizes and things like that in public schools, and I submit to you that perhaps if the schools received more funding and it wasn't such a flat rate every year where they did not receive money, but they could cut that, those monies can then go to these public schools as to where you can have smaller class sizes and you can have programs that are no longer there that were helping students. And the last thing I would like to say is that historically, history has pretty much taught us that when a constitution is amended, it is supposed to enhance society. In this particular case here, I don't see that happening. I see that it would be putting teachers against the public, and the public against the school. And I do believe that at the end, lower income and families and children, minority children, will probably be left out in the cold.
Thank you so much. Unfortunately, your time is up, and I appreciate your comments. Next, we'll go to Anchorage LIO, to Bob Griffin. If you'll please introduce yourself and who you may be with.
Hi, I'm Bob Griffin. Can you hear me okay there, Chairman Gaddis?
Go ahead, Bob. We hear you loud and clear.
Okay, I'm speaking today in support of HJR 1. Let's fund public education and not worry about the system so much. I'm a long-time Alaska resident. My family's been here since 1899, and I'm a proud union member. And I consider myself to be here representing the kids of Alaska. Let's go ahead and move this thing out of committee, and let's let the people vote. Okay? Our school system is broken. Alaska spends more per capita than any other state in the union, and yet in the 2011 NAEPs, we were 50th in fourth grade reading for upper and middle income kids. This is not something new that's going on. We have 21 different states that have already adopted this as the law of the land. 18 other states are considering it. It's also been very successful in Sweden, Australia, Belgium, UK, Finland, South Korea, and many other countries. I don't have a particular dog in this hunt. I consider myself a non-practicing Presbyterian, but I am very impressed with the outcomes that we've gotten out of some of our religious schools. And that student outcomes has to be the bottom line. To address a couple of points from Representative Drummond, actually the cost of most voucher systems are quite a bit less than the base student allocation. In Indiana, actually the system actually pays back the public schools for the unused portion. Poor, disabled, and ethnic people have benefited the most from these programs across the country. And there's 20 gold standard random assignment studies that have shown that outcomes not only improve for kids who stay in or leave the public systems, but they improve for the kids who go. That the concern that schools would become segregated, I think, is not a large concern, since our public system is largely segregated right now. We have 12 schools in the Anchorage School District with 100% of the kids have free and reduced lunch. That's not a very integrated opportunity. Those kids would have an opportunity to go to better schools if this is adopted. BC Scholarship Program is also a very good example of that, where the graduation rates for kids are 20% higher between the kids who are accepted for vouchers and the kids who applied and were not accepted for vouchers.
Thank you, Mr. Griffin. Now, unfortunately, your time is up, Mr. Griffin. So we'll move on to...
The committee move this forward and let the people vote.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We'll stay in the Anchorage LIO and hear from John Tobiah. Please be sure to introduce yourself and who you may be with for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is John Tobiah. I'm from Eagle River, and I've been a resident now for approximately 23 years here. I'm going to speak just from the heart here and give you my very personal feeling on this whole situation. I have a daughter who is now in her first year of college. She's been through the public school system here in Anchorage, Eagle River area. I've involved her with homeschooling. I've homeschooled her. And we have also selected a local private school for her high school education. And I just want to say this. I know there are arguments on both sides of the issue, and the arguments are strong. Some of them are rather emotional. But my feeling is that it is important and critical for the future of our state and for our nation that our children get the finest of education. And so in that regard, you have to understand that I, as a parent, my wife, chose what we did for our daughter, and it came at great expense, great personal expense. But we were able, thankfully, to be able to afford that. What I have encountered, and I was very, very pleased with the education that my daughter received, but what I have encountered is numerous parents that were not able to afford that. And it broke my heart to see some of these families unable to allow their kids to go and to participate in the school that they knew as parents was the best for their kids. And so for that reason, I am very strongly in favor of HAR 1, and I hope that what we will do by that is to just take the shackles off the legislature so that we can have this discussion and bring our arguments forward. We can't even do that now with this foolish amendment. That's why it's important for our people in this state to be able to vote on that, remove the shackles, and let's have a meaningful discussion on improving the education for our kids. These kids are our future. We've got to give them the very best. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And next we'll move to Chin Griffin. If you're there, please introduce yourself and who you may be with for the record.
My name is Chin Griffin. I'm a victim. I represent myself. I'm in favor for the amendment of the Constitution. Let the people vote. I count my blessing every day that I came here to the United States as a communist country. This is a great country. This is a land of opportunity. And it's the land of the freedom. And to my subconscious, you don't give the freedom to the children, the parents, or the school. The system today is not helping middle class or the poor. The rich can go anywhere they want. They can send their children anywhere. But the middle class and the poor are locked into the system. And we do have the right to get a good education as everybody else. But we cannot afford it. So please let's do the right thing for the poor and the middle class. Why are we afraid of competition? Why are we afraid to let the parents choose the school to pick for their children? Let us choose, let the parents choose what is best for the children. And decide that our country's greatness depends on the education of our children. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And next we have Tim Scott. Are you there, Tim? Okay, and I'll admit that it said LO, and I didn't know if that meant yes or no. So, Tim, if you'd like to testify, certainly now is the time. If you're just standing by listening, just let us know.
Just listening.
Thank you so much. Next, we'll hear from Glenn Beagle at the Anchorage LIO. And, Glenn, if you're there, please introduce yourself and who you may be representing.
Good morning. My name is Glenn Beagle. I represent loosely Alaska Home Educators Association, which is an association of some thousands of home educators. I have my kids in all kinds of different schools, and so the choice option for me is pretty easy. I sacrificed by taking on a second job in order to provide my children education both in college and in high school, which is when I choose to move from home school into a private school. I thought it was strange, and I still think it's strange, that someone would say that allowing more children, poorer children, an opportunity to have access to the excellent school that I'm able to send my kids to, is strange. I don't think it's true. In fact, I think it's the opposite. I think preventing a child from being able to access the school of their choice, especially if they're black in a poor area of town and are sentenced essentially to the lower end schools where only 25% of children might read grade level, for instance. It does exactly the opposite. A voucher for them, giving not the system an opportunity to educate that child, but that child an opportunity to get an education. It's really a different way of looking at things, but I think it's the right way of looking at things. So I wanted to strongly disagree with the NAACP person who spoke on their behalf. The question I would have in my heart and my mind, if I were you, is why do we only have one non-PhD? Now, there are PhDs running all over the Department of Education. They're smart people. Mount Edgecombe has somewhere around 98% graduation rate. The villages that the Native children who go there come from have about 30% graduation rate, and that's near the top. So ask yourself the question, if this school is so much superior, why do we only have one? What is the problem? Why is it the system having 15, 20, 30 years and virtually no competition? We have the least competition here in Alaska than anywhere in the country. We have more people in public school here than anywhere else. So we have the least competition. We have smart people running the system. We have plenty of money, more money than anywhere else in our country.
Thank you, Mr. Beagle. Unfortunately, your time is up.
Why? We should grant these children who are sentenced to work school a better school.
Thank you, Mr. Beagle.
The answer is, stop trying to control what parents have choices.
Thank you, Mr. Beagle.
They'll choose wisely.
Thank you. Unfortunately, your time is up. Thank you. And next we'll move in the Anchorage LIO to David Neese. Are you there, Mr. Neese?
David Neese, I'm speaking for myself. House Joint Resolution 1 is kind of interesting, the fact that a lot of talk and a lot of testimony today has not been on the actual resolution. The resolution is taking out a small clause of the Title VII of the Alaska Constitution. And in Day 44 of the Constitutional Convention, a small amendment to it was mentioned. What they wanted to do is argue about the word direct and indirect aid. There is nothing about discrimination. There is nothing about vouchers. This is just what are we going to do with the money, and are we going to support or not support secular schools? And if you go to that testimony, which is available online, you can read what they were thinking about. What they were thinking about was the 1947 Supreme Court decision. What they were thinking about was 21 states that had a Blaine Amendment in it. They weren't thinking about what most of your testimony today has been. So, please put this resolution out of your committee, pass it, get it out there, let the people of Alaska have a choice in it. The discussion on this amendment was not in front of the people in 1957. It needs to be in front of the people in 2014. The only way it's getting there is to come out of your committee and get passed by the Senate and the House, and we can have the discussion. People in Alaska are smart. Some of them have been here since 1900. Some of them haven't. But the people that were here in 1957 and wrote this Constitution lived in a different state than the people that live here in 2012. This is not Alaska 1957. This is not looking at the 1947 Supreme Court decision. This is not looking at 21 other states that have this amendment. A lot has changed since 1957.
Thank you so much.
Take the time to study that document. Look at the testimony by Vic Fisher and his opponents and find out if it is time to indeed put this question in front of the people of the state of Alaska. I believe it is time.
Thank you so much. Unfortunately, we are out of...
the committee put this in front of the people. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next from the Anchorage LIO is Lawrence Weiss.
Actually white, but it's a common paper.
Sorry.
And I want to thank the committee very much for a couple of minutes to speak for you. My grandparents were raised in an area right near Russia, and they were all Jews. They were not allowed to go to public school. They were not allowed to go to private schools because private Jewish schools were not allowed. And my grandmother was actually educated in a Catholic school because she
the priest befriended her, and she was able to get an education that way. So when my grandparents immigrated to this country, they had very strong values about public education being well-funded and independent and open to all. And they had very strong values about the state not being involved in any way with private education, particularly religious schools, because of the tremendous distortions they saw and the abuse they suffered when they were growing up in kind of the Russian-dominated area of the world. My parents had those same feelings for the same reasons, and I share those same views that public education has to be fully funded and fully open, and private schools, be they religious or not, have to be independent of state funding and cannot get state funding. So I think that's consistent with our Constitution, both the state one and the national one. And thank you very much for your time.
So, sir, I put you pro or con on this resolution. I wasn't real clear.
I'm against the resolution.
Thank you so much. Those are all the folks that we have online. Next, we'll take public testimony from those in the room. And into deference to age, we're going to go out of order here, and I'll ask for Mr. Vic Fisher to please step forward, introduce himself for the record.
He just stepped out.
And he stepped out, and next in line is Jane Anvik. So we'll hear from her and wait for Mr. Fisher to return.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Jane Anvik. I live in Anchorage, Alaska, and I previously served as a member of the Anchorage Municipal Assembly. And as you know, that means that we had the responsibility for establishing tax rates for the people who live in Anchorage that included the cost of public education. What I want to say today is I'm opposed to the amendment that you have before you, because I believe that to create opportunities for using public funding for other than public education will have an eroding effect on the public education system. I believe that it is really incumbent upon the state of Alaska to make sure that we are providing a system of education that is providing access for all students to be able to have as good an education system as is humanly possible. To drain financial resources away from the public education system, in my judgment, will be harmful to the public education system. I've heard many people talk about their concerns related to graduation rates and some of the challenges that the schools face across the state. I do not believe that reducing the financial opportunities to expand the public education system will result in a better improvement in those education rates, in those performances. I think that the public money that comes into our communities needs to be devoted to the public education system, and to erode that system by providing private or religious institutions with public financing will in fact harm the public education system. It is the one principal fundamental methodology by which students in our country learn to be able to read and write and be able to become competent people, and we have the responsibility to ensure the strength of that system. And you have the responsibility to be the financial managers of the resources of the state of Alaska, and as such, make sure that we are managing those resources in a manner that supports the education system for the school students of the state of Alaska.
Thank you so much. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have one question for you. A lot of the data that's been presented so far is data, obviously, that they got from the Lower 48. Do you think we can compare the Lower 48 with Alaska when it comes to outcomes?
I believe that since we are part of the United States of America, we have the capacity to be able to compare our students to their students. And since we're part of the United States of America, No Child Left Behind affects us as well as other schools in the United States.
Follow up.
Please go ahead. And when they say that we're spending more per student than anywhere else, and because of our vast size, we're the size of a fifth of the United States, there could be another reason that we're spending as much as we are per student?
I think there are very many reasons why Alaska is spending more money for our students, not the least of which is size and distance. In Anchorage, Alaska, the current policy for the Anchorage School District is that we're reducing the school district's appropriation this year by $25 million because of financial shortfall, and anticipate that in the future. My belief is that the state of Alaska has a responsibility to be able to assist with the education of those students in Anchorage as well as the rest of the country, or as rest of the state. So I believe that we have to be looking at what we're doing in terms of supporting the public education system.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, Mr. Fisher. And please be sure to introduce yourself for the record and who you may be with.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Victor Fisher, and I'm from Anchorage. I would like to make a couple of brief comments. Number one, this is a proposed constitutional amendment. The burden of proof is very heavily upon those who would change the Constitution. I was a member of the Constitutional Convention. As you may know, I served in the legislature a number of terms. This is a very serious matter, amending the Constitution. I want to also point out, and the reason, this is a reason why you have to vote two-thirds, get a two-thirds majority in each House in order to even put it before the people. So just this casual let the people vote is a lousy argument. The other thing I want to point out is that in the Constitutional Convention, the record is very clear that the language proposed to eliminate about direct benefit of religious and other private institutions, that language was unanimously put in. It was no opposition to that particular section. So it's not as if some kind of an amendment, Blaine amendment, had horns on it and was something awful. I never heard the term Blaine amendment until I saw it in an op-ed piece in the Anchorage News. It was not considered something evil. There's nothing evil about the term Blaine amendment. But it's being put out as if, ooh, it didn't go into the U.S. Constitution. The reason it didn't go into the Constitution is that education is seen as a function of the states, and so it was not made part of the U.S. Constitution for that reason. The reason that I oppose the proposed amendment is that we have a public education system that is publicly funded with public money. If a program results from approval of this constitutional amendment, it opens the door not just to choice for parents, for individuals on education, it opens the door to direct benefits to religious institutions. It would benefit religious institutions because it would provide public funds to educate children in religious institutions and for-profit institutions. And this would open the door to a complete change in education in Alaska, and I am not for public funds going into religious and for-profit schools.
And Mr. Fisher, if you don't mind, that's one of the challenges that we as legislators are bumping up against right now. We have public monies going into private and private religious institutions, and that's what we're grappling with as we sit here today. As we look at, we have a scholarship program going into not only private, but private religious institutions.
Right.
So as we keep, as legislators, bumping up against the Constitution, we are asking ourselves, you know, is this a change that needs to be made? How do we reconcile this bumping, if you will, into that? And I really value the fact that, you know, you're bringing some history to the table and that you were there, and I'm pleased that you chose to testify in my committee this morning. So thank you so much.
If I may respond to that.
Certainly.
The situation is open enough that we can, at this point, stretch the you might say stretch the law sufficiently to do what is being done. The Constitution has not been a line that says we cannot do what we've done, be it scholarships or anything else, until there is a Alaska Supreme Court decision that says, whoa, you can't do what the legislature wants to do, what the people want, until there is something that says we have got to change our Constitution in order to allow what we're doing today. And there has been no challenge, I haven't heard of any legal challenge of scholarship programs.
Right, and I agree with you. And, you know, that's the great thing about having a committee with lots of varied ideas and folks like yourself coming forward. So thank you so much. Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Fisher, for coming today. This committee, I believe, is honored with your presence the building. And thank you, Madam Chair, for giving Mr. Fisher plenty of time. I think the most important thing you told us this morning was that the burden of proof is very heavily upon those who would change the Constitution. I asked a question of the sponsor of the legislation regarding where would the money come from, and he said that that's not the question before us today. What do you believe would involve would be involved in the proof that would be required before the legislature should decide whether to put this question before the voters?
Well, I to me, the basic question is, are we solving a non-existing problem at this point? And the burden is on those who say we should amend the Constitution. To me, it seems that there is no fundamental problem with the existing language.
And we thank you very, very much for coming to testify.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you. Thank you, Committee.
And we'll go back to the Anchorage LIO, and we have Laura Bonner. And if she'll be sure to introduce herself and who she may be with for the record. Laura, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Please go ahead.
My name is Laura Bonner. I reside in Anchorage, and I'm testifying as a private citizen. I oppose the resolution. I think that I agree with much of what Victor has said. I believe it opens the door to allow discrimination for special needs students and to lower income families. I think it blurs the line between church and state, and it doesn't define what direct educational benefit is. I think legislators would be negligent in their fiscal responsibilities, and how would they monitor, there be accountability for the standards of education? And so I think it would be fiscally irresponsible for legislators not to consider those items. and also transportation for the students. Thank you for allowing me to testify.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being involved. Next, we have from the Anchorage LIO, Dan Loring, and if you'll introduce yourself and who you may be with.
Hello, my name is Dan Loring. I'm representing myself today. Thank you for holding this hearing and for permitting me to speak. You know, I've been researching and been involved in public education here in Anchorage for 7 or 8 years now, and this is a tough question for me, the support or not support. But I guess what I'd like to ask you to consider is what's best for kids, especially the kids in neighborhood schools that are not as successful as they should be. We all know that certainly most kids, overwhelming majority of our youth, are very, very smart. But historically, in America, we have not, and certainly in Anchorage and certainly in the state, we have left a lot of kids behind, typically low social economic and minority kids of color. In the Anchorage School District, we are becoming more of a segregated school system with more minority kids attending certain schools and certain zip codes. And so it doesn't have to be equated to academic failure, low proficiency, because with good teachers, good administrators, the evidence shows, certainly in my neighborhood and in Anchorage, as well as the rest of the country, all kids can succeed at an extremely high level. And so while you're discussing this and debating whether or not this is best for kids, I'd ask you to do two things. One, focus on the neighborhood schools that are not succeeding, the chronically underperforming schools who have been left behind. And the second thing I'd ask you to think about are the students and the student needs. Thanks again for letting me testify today.
Thank you. And those are all the folks that we have online at this time. We'll move to public testimony in the room. And next we have Mr. Carl Rose. And if he'll step forward and introduce himself and who he's with for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Good morning.
Morning.
For the record, I'm Carl Rose, Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. A lot to discuss. 2 minutes is just not enough time for us to even start the conversation. But I will share with you this. The association is opposed to this resolution, and I want to qualify. Members of my association have taken the same oath that you have, and we have sworn to support and defend the Constitution, and to do so faithfully, honestly, and impartially in the discharge of our duties, and I know you do too. I don't want to say that anyone's right, anyone's wrong, but I do want to say that we have a very difficult situation here. 9 out of 10 kids in our state, across our nation as a matter of fact, attend public schools. It's a responsibility for us to ensure that we have a quality public school system. It's very difficult for me to connect the dots between a constitutional change that is proposed and the improvement of the system that people say they desire. My concern is, the conversation is, what could happen, what should happen, what will happen are questions beyond our purview right now. The unintended consequence of what we do is still in the air. I will tell you this, though. We will have to revisit case law, statutes, regulations, and the structure that currently exists under a new purview if we change the Constitution. I believe that the proponents of this change have got to come up with a better argument to do what we plan on doing than simply allowing for choice. Choice is a good thing in and of itself, but I tell you one thing that may relieve some of our concerns, and we struggle mightily as an association to not be the association of no. unfortunately, on this one, there are too many unanswered questions for us to respond in a positive, but I will share with you this. If we are going to entertain something like this, I think the conversations that I've had around this issue are stem from state dollars, state outcomes, state oversight. That alleviates a lot of the concerns of many of the people that I serve. It's the accountability issue. It's what we are accountable for under the current law. Whose accountability will that be later? If you take state dollars, will you meet the state outcomes? And I think we've heard a lot of that here today. I'll stop right now. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I have a lot to say and not a lot of time to do it.
Thank you. Next, we have Mary Graham. And please be sure to introduce yourself and who you may be with. Thank you.
My name is Mary Graham. I live in Juneau, Alaska. I'm representing myself, and I don't have any children, but I have many friends who have children. I oppose HJR1. On the surface, it may seem like a good idea to provide, as the sponsor's written statement indicated, state-sponsored scholarships for all students. However, I do not believe diluting the power of public education funds would bring us to the goal of 90% graduation rates by 2020. In other jurisdictions, vouchers were implemented to address critically ailing public school systems and typically have been issued to low-income students. I see this measure as simply an attempt to start the process of redirecting public funds to public and religious education. We need to focus on our duty to provide quality public education as set forth in our Constitution. A system within there already is choice: homeschooling, cyber distance learning, and charter schools. We do not need to amend our Constitution. And I have some written testimony that I'll leave with you that I don't think, as some people have said, the choice schools mean that the kids are going to perform better. There's evidence on both sides, so I don't think that's going to solve our education problem in Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to testify? Seeing none, would the bill sponsor like to follow up on some of the questions and statements and maybe some questions that we may have here from the committee?
Thank you, Madam.
We'll let you start with your follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, I think people probably do have questions, and Jennifer, I know we're going to hold the bill the resolution today, and maybe that the members of the committee want to get those questions to us. We'll be glad to get them and get them back to them in writing.
Sure. Any comments on testimony or follow-up?
Again, Madam Chair, as I said, this is a resolution. Is this a step that we may go to school choice? That is a possibility, but that is something that will be decided after November of 2014 with the legislature, which in that case will be the 29th legislature, not the 28th. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you. So, Mr. Fisher brought up the subject, and so I'd like to find out whether the sponsor agrees or disagrees that the legislature's responsibility is to look at the ramifications for a constitutional amendment or just the individual words that are on a constitutional amendment. We have a two-thirds vote that we have to take in each body. And apparently that was put in the Constitution for a reason other than a 51% vote of the people, which is required subsequent to that. So, we have questions that have been posed, and so far the sponsor has just said that the additional dollars or where that money will come from doesn't account at this time. The approximately 9,600 kids that are currently in those private or religious schools, we really don't talk about those because those aren't in a bill at this time. But all of those things are ramifications for if this is passed and what that would allow. So I guess I want to find out from the sponsor at the next hearing is to this kind of firewall that the sponsor is saying that the legislature should only consider the exact words and not the ramification of removing the prohibition for direct benefit for any religious or other private educational institution from the Constitution and what that would allow.
Thank you, Mr. Seaton. Representative Seaton, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I actually asked the sponsor this question early on in the meeting, and I just did a little bit of quick research online here. Apparently, the Alaska Constitution has been amended. There have been 40 attempts to amend the Constitution since statehood. 28 of them have been successful. The people have, 28 amendments have been successful, including giving the vote to 18-year-olds, prohibition of sexual discrimination, creation of the limited entry fishing permit system, asserting the right to privacy, and creating the Alaska Permanent Fund. Just for the record, thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you. I think we're posing questions to be answered later. Is that correct? Is that what I understood?
And or I think that he indicated that you could get them and he would bring them forward at our next meeting. So either.
Okay.
Please read them for the record.
Thanks. And I would just like the sponsor to address the question of if we add funding for private schools, would the private schools be limited to the same 23% funding cap above the
Representative Seaton, I'm sorry to cut you off here, but we're looking at a constitutional amendment, and the discussion that you're having and that you're asking even anybody in the room, that's a discussion that we will have possibly when this is voted on. I don't see how the sponsor could possibly know those answers without us having that discussion and vetting through committee. I don't think we're there yet. I apologize for cutting you off, but we're far from that.
Well, Madam Chair, I guess the question is the ramifications and understanding what the constitutional amendment allows. If it allows us to fund public or private education, does the same 23% cap that we're allowed under the federal constitution apply to those private institutions that would be funded? I don't know the answer, and we could discuss it, but I wouldn't be able to tell you yes or no, and I thought it would be appropriate for the sponsor to bring forward whether that was correct or not.
Madam Chair, Representative Seaton, as indicated by the fiscal note, this resolution does not have anything to do with funding anything. All this has to do, the only fiscal note we have is the cost of printing a ballot, and that is from the Division of Elections. There is no fiscal note from the Department of Education, and so therefore this resolution has absolutely nothing to do with funding. That is a discussion down the road.
See, and I also see, and I apologize, but it's something that we're going to have to give. Should this get passed and the voters in Alaska make the choice, then we're definitely going to have to sit down and really have those hard conversations on what this may mean to our state. But I think we're way ahead of ourselves asking these questions.
Okay. Well, Madam Chair, I'm not asking for funding. I'm asking whether the funding to the cap is a requirement that would also be on private schools if at some time we did what we were trying to allow in the constitutional amendment and fund private schools. Are they going to be limited to the cap? That's not a state issue. That's
right.
A federal requirement that is in place.
And I imagine it will be a discussion that we'll have should the voters vote in a positive manner. This being a constitutional amendment, I think we're ahead of ourselves again. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think when we have something like that on the ballot, it's very important for the voters to understand what the ramifications can be if this is passed and what the ramifications would be if it isn't passed. And I think that we want the voters to be able to fully understand what this means. And so what this means, if they vote for that, if we don't ask some of these questions, then they will be going into it blind, and they won't fully understand the reasons why. If we just say, well, it's just to the vote of the people so they can decide, but this is so they can decide what, and what does that mean? So I think that it's very important that we do talk about some of this, because there will be ramifications. And it's kind of like we've got a piece of pie and we've got so much funding. And that pie, a lot of people want that pie to get smaller and smaller. So if that pie is going to get smaller and smaller, that means the pieces in the pie are going to be smaller. And if we enlarge what the expenses can be in education, then that means that for some of this to happen, somebody else is going to get less money somewhere else. And I think that's very, very important. And even in our school system, because we have people, this will expand what the Department of Education is going to have to pay. And so what does that mean if we're going to expand it and we're going to make the education pot bigger? What in education is going to get smaller? And I think that's important that the people of the state realize that when they need to know the ramifications. And so I think that's very important, because even in our voting pamphlets that we get across the state, we'll have to have both sides of this. And they have to really realize that this probably means that money for education is going to have to be taken out of the public schools in other areas. And so that's important for the people of the state to know when they decide to make that vote.
And I can appreciate your thoughts, and mine are that I really don't even know what it means, except for that the people will choose, and we will have grand conversation and big debate on what it truly means. And hopefully that should the people of Alaska make this choice, they'll trust us to make the right choice when we come back to the table here. But I do agree with you that all ramifications, and that's why we're having this conversation, that's why we're vetting it in committee, and that's why I'm not moving it out of committee, because I want us to have these conversations, these hard conversations, on what it means for Alaska's education. So I do appreciate your comments, and you know, we'll try to do our best, and we're vetting it through this committee and honor all of the comments. Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the comments of Representative Wilson and Representative Seaton. Representative Seaton brought up a number of, I believe it was 9,600 students. I'm curious as to where that number comes from and what it represents. It's part of the fiscal responsibility, I believe, of this committee to consider the number of students out there that we might have to be funding if this makes it several steps down the road and becomes reality.
Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And we'd considered this issue in the last legislature, and so the question was asked, how many students are there currently in private and religious schools that could be impacted by this across the state? So if there was funding, I presume it would be equitable for those in any of those schools, and that was the number of students that would be eligible for funding if there was funding for those in private and religious schools.
So that figure came from the State Department of Education.
That's correct.
They did some research and discovered that number.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
And when we have the department up, we'll certainly hope that we can get that answer from them as well. I'm not sure of the number. I do have one more person at the Anchorage LIO, if I can take them, and I'll. Jody Taylor, are you there? And if you'll introduce yourself for the record and who you might be with. Jody?
Thank you so much for letting me come and speak after. I'm here with my family. I'm with my two little girls that don't go to school yet. Representing my family, Trey Taylor and myself. And the reason that I came today is I was thinking about when my husband and I went to college 12 years ago. We filled out a form for a grant, and at the time I didn't realize really where that money came from when we got a grant. But it was from federal money that came to our school, a private institution, Brigham Young University, and that federal money was allowed to come and help with our education. And so now I feel like 12 years later, I hope a little bit smarter. It's funny to me that same
opportunity is not afforded to us when now that we're parents. And so I would suggest to you that this is something that's viable. Putting the federal dollars in the hands of people to choose education is something that happens all the time, and state dollars would be the same because they come. So that money, now that I'm old enough and realize where that money comes from, it comes from people. It comes from businesses, and it's not this nebulous dollar figure, and so it's perfectly fine for people to decide how to use that money to spend it, just like I was able to do when I went to school. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With respect to the discussion in the committee and from several members of the public who testified, I'd just like to reemphasize, maybe on behalf of the sponsor's position, that this measure before us simply would allow a system that the legislature or the people could, by law, do something. The discussion ahead about the ramifications of this decision, what exact form it would take, what the effect would be up and down the line, is a discussion that would be made when that consideration of that law would be made. Again, it's a two-step, maybe multi-step process, but the question of how a program of school choice would be affected is not before this committee this time. It's simply a constitutional amendment.
How eloquent of you. Thank you. I couldn't have said it better. Do we have any Representative Seaton?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm not asking for specific examples of things. I'm trying to figure out, if this Constitution Amendment passes, what criteria follow from that, from other laws and other provisions of our Constitution. I mean, we've said we're going to have public dollars. Does that mean that the public system will also have some input into the curriculum that's going to be taught? We haven't been said yes or no. Are there other portions of the Constitution that say that there has to be accountability when public funds are expended for education? Are there other provisions that would require certified teachers? Or can this be anyone in a private institution if there's public dollars going into it? You know, I'm trying to understand what this constitutional amendment can mean. I'm not trying to design a bill around it. I'm trying to understand it. And I think that the two-thirds vote by us to pass this, that requirement is there because we are required to have a high bar to understand and to be able to explain when it goes to the vote of the people why. And so,
and Representative Seaton, so if I'm hearing you correctly, and hopefully the sponsor will hear the same question and get that answer back, is what other parts of the Constitution will this affect in regards to education? So, and that's absolutely a great question, because if you change the Constitution, how will it affect other parts of the education? Either it does or it doesn't, or there's small parts. So, I mean, great question.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair.
Are there any other questions? With that, we'll hold HJR 1, and we'll continue with public testimony when we next hear it on Friday, March 1st. The House Education Committee will meet next on Monday, February 25th, for a presentation on charter schools by the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. HJR 1 has been heard and will be held, and the House Education Committee is now adjourned.